It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is May 9th, 2022, and it is just clicked over to 1903 UTC. Thanks for being here. Sorry for a few minutes of old news. It's just kind of the style of the time. If I'm here at home, it's going to be starting a few minutes late, probably, just as I move and switch gears from work over here to doing some news and the whole live show and all that. Shout out to everybody in comm. If you'd like to join and hang out and chat while we're doing the news, like cool people like DRA and Stug and Dirty Rig, well then, all you need to do is SSH over to stf.org, and then from there, launch comm. Then you just run the command. You type COM, and then you press enter. And when you do that, boom, you are now in the chat program. You just press G for go to, and then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. Press enter, and you will be in the Anon Radio room, the one and only undisputed champion, most popular room, almost always in comm. And added bonus, you can plus people in the comm. So you can just say their name plus, and it's like a high five. So that's going on. SMJ's got a contest running, so it resets every month now. Alrighty, that's enough about that. That's enough housekeeping. Just stick around if news isn't your tea, and you can do the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. That happens at every day at 1930 UTC, and then Harry Larry's coming up at 20 hours or 2000. I'm not sure how the best way to say that is. Dirty Riggs is like C++, exactly, just like C++, except yeah, you just put their name and then you put a plus. All right, let's get going. There is so much happening. Surprisingly, for a Monday, there's not a whole lot of death news. I think a lot of the mass casualty events that we're used to seeing on Mondays are kind of hidden, or something else is going on. So let's go ahead and start up. First cholera outbreak since 2017 kills one in South Sudan. Hey, welcome, Yvonne. Thanks for tuning in to Anon Radio and for joining comp. One person has died and 30 others have been infected with cholera in South Sudan in a resurgence of the disease not seen since 2017, the Ministry of Health announced. In a statement on Saturday, the ministry said, a cholera outbreak has occurred in Rubkana County, Unity State, in the north of the country. To date, a total of 31 cases, including one death, have been reported in Rubkana locality in Bintu IDP, that's India Delta Papa camp. The statement said, adding that all patients have been treated and discharged from the hospital. The Ministry of Health and its partners are continuing to investigate and to identify additional cases of cholera. According to government and World Health Organization data, the first case was reported on March 20th in a 2-year-old girl, officially confirmed by the authorities on April 14th. Dirty Rig is wired up in comm, so if you have a hamster wheel that needs, or maybe a generator that needs powering, reach out. Subsequently, on March 25th, a 7-year-old child tested positive and died. South Sudan had not experienced cholera since December 2017, and the last recorded case of an epidemic declared in June 2016 killed 436 people. Cholera is an infectious disease which causes severe watery diarrhea. This can also lead to acute dehydration and even death if untreated. According to the World Health Organization, cholera is a serious threat to mankind, and there are 1.3 to 4 million cases being recorded each year, causing between 21,000 and 143,000 deaths. Hey, Unimagined, welcome. And, welcome. And Stug. And everybody. Alright, sorry, I'm just all over the place. Cholera outbreak's pretty sad. One of the things I was thinking about, though, was it was like, wow, the 7-year-old who died 7 years ago would have been, what, 20... 15. So I guess they were alive for that previous cholera outbreak. But meanwhile, the 2-year-old who got it survived. So anyway, it's just funny how when if you die young, the time span of your life and the events that occurred is easy enough that you can kind of keep it all in your head. It's really weird. Anywho, 11 Ghanaians are missing as Chinese fishing vessel sinks in El Amina. El Amina, you say? Don't worry. I also said El Amina. So we're gonna pull up a map so that I can show you in Calm and give you a link. Let's do this because this is in central Ghana, I think. There we go. It is situated in Kaminda Adina Aguafo Abre, central Ghana. It's just at 5 degrees north and 1 degree west, and its original name is El Mina. So it's just off. Let me see if I can get a good picture. Sorry, I like to know where these places are whenever I'm talking about them, because I feel like it's such an important, a big part of the big picture. You know what I mean? All right. L, paste. Oh, that's a data image. That's not going to work. Oops. Sorry. Copy image link. Oh, I guess I should say open a new tab. Nope. Oh, this is great radio. I'm sorry, y'all. This is normally not how this goes. But it's a new place. I really wanted to share it. El Mina. So if you want to check it out later on or on your own, this place we're talking about, El Mina, is over there on the west coast of Africa. And the short URL is going to come up shortly. Here it is, sdf.org/L/NN. So that's /Lima/November/November. If you go to sdf.org/L/NN, you'll be able to see the map that shows where this is. And I thought that it looked, I think this is a good little map here for us. So anyway, 11 people. At least 11 people are missing after a trawler sank off the coast of Ghana on Friday. The MV Comforter 2, a Ghanaian vessel operated by a Chinese company, sank during a storm about 180 kilometers off of Takoradi, Ghana's second largest port. 26 crew members were on board when the incident occurred. So far, we've rescued 15 people and 11 are still missing, Paul Bannerman, deputy director of the Fisheries Ministry, told AFP. The search and rescue teams led by the Navy are still looking for the missing, who are 10 Ghanaians and 1 Chinese. The official said some of the survivors suffered minor injuries, were traumatized. According to their account, they were fishing in a storm when the disaster occurred. The crew was carrying a net that had caught a lot of fish at the time. It was raining heavily. As they tried to take the fish on board, the boat turned over, causing the disaster. In Ghana, foreign vessels must register under the local flag and access the country's water with local licenses. Oh no, I'm sorry. Apparently, this image link I shared, they have protected themselves against the hot links. I'm sorry for that. I'll see if I can't find a better image. Oh yeah, even the static image. Oh. Anyway, one sec. Maps. Let's go over here to gonna find a better one. Sorry guys. Everybody, we're gonna get there. We're doing it. We're doing it. Oh, that's the same site. We're gonna go to a different one. Here we go. This is rochester.edu. I bet you they won't care if we use their link. All right, sorry about that delay, and, well, that just cost us a story, but it's okay. You can go to sdf.org/L/NO. That's November Oscar. And if you go there, let's see, I'm testing it now live. sdf.org always resolves a little slow for me. Boom. All right, it looks like it worked for me. And you can see Elmina there on the coast. Just know that this is, hooray, Stug and Unimagined see it. Draw sees it. Raleigh has joined. Welcome, welcome. So what we're looking at here is, no, this is where the ship flipped over. They were out in a storm fishing, and they pulled up a net full of fish, and the whole boat flipped over. 11 people are still missing, but they rescued 15 of them. So that's over there in Elmina and Cape Coast, and just in general, that's Ghana on the map there. And if you think about Africa looking like kind of like it's got a hump on the west coast, it's on the bottom of the hump. It's like the underboob of the west coast is how I would describe it. All right. Away we go. There's a lot more news. We got to get to it. But I really like talking about stories and places that I have no idea where they are and finding out where they are. At least 11 Egyptian soldiers have been killed in a jihadist attack. 11 Egyptian soldiers were killed on Saturday attempting to prevent a terrorist attack on the Suez Canal zone abutting the Sinai Peninsula, a hotbed of jihadist activity, the army said. The death toll is one of the highest recorded by Egyptian forces in years in Egypt. According to a military statement, a group of Tekfiris launched an attack on a military water pumping station. The soldiers repelled them, and fighting ensued, in which 11 soldiers were killed and 5 wounded. The soldiers continue to pursue the terrorists to a remote area of Sinai, according to the same source. The term Tekfiris is generally used to refer to Sunni jihadists or radical Islamist groups. President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi said on Facebook that these terrorist operations will not overcome the determination of the country and its army to cut the evil of terrorism at its roots. I'm really interested if anybody has any research on governments that use Facebook and Twitter for official announcements, because it really seems like most of the time, and especially with our African news, a lot of the news, the official announcements are quoted and sourced off of Facebook or Twitter, and it boggles the mind. Like, is there poor hosting? Do countries just not have access? Is it the citizenry? I don't know. Anyway, very curious. Oh my gosh, it's 15 minutes after. We're already halfway done. This guy's in my face.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
X1 has joined. Welcome, welcome, X1. Thanks for being here. No RSS from DRA. I don't know what we would RSS provide in the RSS feed. If the government could do that. There's no reason for... Yeah, Claudio M, hello, hello. But yeah, that's kind of the debate and what I'm kind of curious about. I'm like, what's the deal? Are countries so technologically illiterate that they just believe that that the internet is the Facebook app? Or is it just like the old days where the Internet Explorer icon was the internet? I don't know. All right. A little bit of anger and outrage in India, and then we'll play a song. India's aviation minister said he was investigating a domestic airline after it allegedly refused to let a disabled teenager board its flight. The airline staff told the teenager's parents that he was a risk to other passengers. The incident sparked a widespread outrage, with many calling out the airline for discriminatory behavior. IndiGo has denied the allegations. That's IndiGo. Has denied the allegations, saying it prides itself on being an inclusive organization. Aviation Minister Joytiraditya Scindia on Monday promised appropriate action, saying he was personally investigating the incident. There is zero tolerance towards such behavior. No being should have to go through this, he wrote on Twitter. The incident took place on Saturday at the Ranchi Airport, R-A-N-C-H-I, airport, came to light after one of the co-passengers, Manish Gupta, wrote about it on Facebook. Facebook again, coming out as the place people are, apparently. Ms. Gupta said that ahead of the flight, the teenager looked visibly distressed. By the time he'd gone through security checked and reached the gate, almost an hour ahead of boarding, he seemed to be in the throes of hunger, thirst, anxiety, and confusion. She added the parents had managed to placate his meltdown well, with patience and some cajoling, hugs, etc., and the other passengers stopped to offer to help the couple. When the Indigo staff saw him, she says they warned the parents they would not let him board if the child didn't quiet down and become normal. Then we witnessed the full display of brutal authority and power. The Indigo staff announced the child wouldn't be allowed to take the flight, that he was a risk to passengers, and that he would have to become normal before he could be travel-worthy. She added that other passengers on the flight opposed the staff and assured them they had no objection. A group of doctors traveling on the same flight offered to provide full support to the child and his parents if any health episode were to occur. But the airline held its ground. Of course, since then it said, "Hey, we didn't do anything wrong." India has more than 26 million people living with physical or learning disabilities, but there's little infrastructure to support them in their everyday life. And their official statement says, "We regret the inconvenience caused to the passengers. Indigo prides itself on being an inclusive organization for its employees or its customers and over 75,000 specially abled passengers that fly every month." Yep, sure. Oh man, let's see what's going on. Claudia M. points out, for some third world countries, Facebook is the internet. And Dirty Rig lets us know, 1995, AOL is offended. X1's here. There is no government official, Pravda. The free press takes the information and publishes it. Sure. So, yeah. Imagine if emergency weather alerts were exclusively distributed through Facebook. Oh, man. I have a little Baofeng handheld ham radio I keep next to my desk, just in case. But man, that would be awful. Anyway, speaking of just things being weird and everything, this is Cream and Strange Brew.
Thank you. Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the HDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, that's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, well, it's powered by you. Thank you for being here and hanging out. And, yeah, just thanks for being here. Lots of good times, lots of good fun, good chat and calm today. Not as much news getting out because, well, we're having a good time. We're taking our, it's nice and mellow. Like I said before, that strange brew from Cream. And shout out to Raleigh. Thanks for being here. We'll just get started. We'll pull up the news. It's a call box. Oh, okay. So, a fire alarm box, a fire alarm call box, or a fire alarm pull box is a device used for notifying a fire department of a fire. The box is activated by turning a knob or a hook, and it sets off an alert. It's pretty cool. They're around Boston. I've never seen them anywhere else. But it's just like a fire alarm that's just out there, freestanding, just on a box on a pole, and you pop it open, and there's a fire alarm inside, and you ring it, and it'll call. It basically telegraphs the. I don't think it telegraphs anymore. It probably just makes a 911 call to the fire department. Apparently they have them in San Francisco too. So anyway, I think they're cool. Cool. Dirty Rig knows. Geographical areas in Maryland are all numbered, and each one's box NNN, like whatever number. Cool. So apparently these are popular everywhere but in Texas. In Texas, you pay the fire insurance man, or we'll just come and watch it burn and make sure it doesn't set anybody else's apartment on fire, building on fire. All right. Let's get into it. We got some headlines. We got just about 5 minutes before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. So let's do here. Mahinda Rajapaksa, Sri Lankan Prime Minister, resigns amid economic crisis. Sri Lankan's Prime Minister has resigned amid mass protests at the government's handling of a deepening economic crisis. The move came as the island was placed under curfew after violent clashes between Rajapaksa supporters and anti-government protesters in Colombo. 5 people have died, including a ruling party MP, and more than 190 injured in violence in the capital. Prices are soaring, and fighting is going crazy. So keep up on there. All right, Claudio M., good luck. I hope you have a good trip home. TV presenter walks out of sports awards over sexism. An organization representing Scottish sports writers has apologized after an awards event speech prompted a walkout. TV presenter Elida Barber was among guests who left Sunday Scottish Football Writers Association gala dinner in Glasgow in protest. Ms. Barber tweeted that she had never felt so unwelcome in the industry, while others described the jokes as sexist, racist, and homophobic. So that's going on there in Scotland. Russian ambassador to Poland pelted with red paint at Victory Day gathering. Russia's ambassador to Poland has been pelted with red paint thrown at him by people protesting against the war in Ukraine as he went to lay flowers at the Soviet military cemetery in Warsaw on the anniversary of the Allied victory over Nazi Germany in 1945. Video footage released by Russian news agencies showed Sergei Andreev and several other men with paint on their clothes and faces surrounded by a crowd, some holding Ukrainian flags. In other videos of the incident circulating online, anti-war activists can be heard chanting fascists and murderers. And there are some. It's a pretty dramatic photo. FIFA confirms replay for abandoned Brazil-Argentina World Cup qualifier. Tobe summoned this out of me. FIFA confirms replay. On Monday, FIFA confirmed the abandoned 2022 World Cup qualifier between Brazil and Argentina will be replayed after rejecting appeals from both national federations. Brazilian health officials stormed the pitch 7 minutes into the clash on September 5th between the South American Giants and Sao Paulo, stopping the match and triggering a melee involving team officials and players. According to Brazil's National Health Surveillance Agency, 4 Argentine players based at English clubs at the time should have been placed in immediate quarantine for breaching COVID-19 protocols. So, yeah, football. We're going to have one more World Cup qualifier. We're going to have to see Brazil-Argentina in a qualifier. This is going to be awesome. Lula of Allies hope he will end the Bolsonaro era. Oh, man, we're running out of time. A mesmerized hush fell over the crowd as Jal Camarero took to the stage with his seven-string guitar and plucked the opening notes of a national anthem that's become a symbol of the political struggle for Brazil's soul. O land adored above all orders, tis thee, Brazil, sang the South American songstress beside him, Teresa Cristina, as thousands of spectators added their voices to the hymn's call for the future of liberty and love. So we'll see if Lula can pull it off. French court upholds one-year sentence for ex-PM Fillon in fake job scandal. Hey, Dirty Rig's caffeine has worn off already. A French appeals court on Monday upheld but shortened the prison sentence a lower court inflicted on a former conservative prime minister for embezzling public funds in a scandal that derailed his 2017 run for president. The revelations about the probe torpedoed conservative Fillon's 2017 campaign, leaving the way clear for centrist Emmanuel Macron, who was re-elected to the second term last month. He's convicted in 2020 and sentenced to 5 years in jail, three suspended. Sentence was reduced on Monday to 4 years, with three suspended. Talked about that. Oh, man, we're running out of time. But I hope we all learned that Elmina is on the underboob of Africa, right there next to, it's off the coast of Ghana, or it's part of Ghana. Switch to the backup generator. Comm's got to stay up. All right. What's the last headlines? Nigerian court denies MFL ask to keep job in presidential run. He wanted to keep his job while running for president. They said no. In the Philippines, they're trying to elect a new president. Is it going to be the son of the dictator that was overthrown or the current vice president? And Egypt arrested 13 boys for harassing tourists. And Zimbabwe has suspended bank lending. And in South Africa, 50% more cases of COVID have been reported in the last 24 hours. A new wave is just going crazy. And Biden criticized people protesting at judges' houses. Apparently he doesn't like that. And if you're poor and in the United States, you might be able to get up to 100 megabytes per second internet service for free. Thanks to Joe Biden and a program he started up. So if you have less than 100 megabytes per second internet, check it out. Enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe!